Bring greetings again this evening in Jesus' name. Blessing to be gathered together in Jesus' name. The one who created all things, as we heard, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord and our King, we can greet you in Jesus' name. That's a blessing. As brethren, as sisters, because we are all redeemed by His blood if we're part of His family. This evening I felt led to bring another message on the home, raising our children for God. We had about marriage last evening, and this evening we'd like to think about raising children. God has committed to many parents here children. That's a blessing. And God desires that our children would come to fear Him, would come to know Him. Raising our children for God. Sometimes we as preachers maybe are a little slow in preaching on raising children because we know we've made a lot of mistakes ourselves. And sometimes when we're young, we're not sure how things are going to turn out. And sometimes when we get a little older, we realize it's not quite as simple as we maybe thought. And so it's easy to just sort of put it off. But I think it's good to note what the scriptures say. And maybe to note where we can grow and where we failed. And just simply, the word is there. And we need to have, again, high ideals. Sometimes we don't quite make it as fathers and husbands either, as we thought about last night. Who's really up to that standard? Is loving like Christ loved the church? Can we love our wives that much? And yet we need to hear that, even if we're not quite there yet. And I think the same goes with raising our children for God. Let's think about some biblical principles, first of all, and then we'll think about some methods and some things that are really important for children to learn. May not affect all of you yet. Some of you don't have children. Someday maybe the Lord will bless you with children, so you listen in and you might pick up a few ideas. Maybe some of you, your children are all grown, but you can still pray for others. And ponder God's will for you. And as a church, I believe it's important to care about our children and to raise them for God to the best of our ability. Some biblical principles. God calls parents to train their children in His ways. Let's start with Proverbs 22, verse 6. Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says here, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child. We are not just to leave our children grow up as they would naturally, but we are to train them in the way that they should go. It says, when he is old, he will not depart from it. I believe that's a general principle. You know, a child does have a choice, and not all children that are trained properly turn out properly. But I may believe it makes a big difference, a very big difference, in the direction that our children go. Our training, our goal should be to bring them to an understanding of God. A well-trained child can never fully get away from his early godly teaching, even if he goes astray. I think we can learn that from this verse too. When he is old, that training is still there. And if, like the prodigal son, he decides to come back, there's something there that he knows where it is. Train up a child. The Hebrew word for train up is translated dedicate elsewhere. Dedicate that child to God. Make it your utmost effort to bring up that child for him. Dedicate him. Initiate him into a walk of life that will lead him down a right path. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Familiar verses here. Ephesians chapter 6 addresses children first. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so, children, here's a verse for you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord and honor your father and mother. I believe also we can note that as parents, children do not just naturally obey their parents. That's what they're supposed to do. But we as parents have to see that they learn to obey the scripture. They're not going to just naturally read Ephesians 6:1 and decide, well, I'm going to obey my parents. Well, bless them if they do. That's really what they should do, but it doesn't come natural to do that. And we're going to need to do some training to help steer that mind, that carnal will, in the right direction if they're going to learn to obey. We must require obedience when they are young and direct them to a point where, hopefully, by God's grace, they will learn to willingly obey not only us, but also God. For those of you who are growing up, it's a blessing when you can learn to obey and to honor without being pressed into that. That should become a willing thing. That should become your desire. That's what God wants for you. And you will be blessed. It's the first commandment with promise. We can see here in verse 4 that training includes love. It includes teaching. It includes discipline. Training involves a lot. Ephesians 6:4 there, provoke not your children to wrath. How can we avoid that? Well, I believe one thing is to train them for their good, not your benefit. Yes, it benefits you if they're trained. But don't just train them so that you get benefits, but train them for their good. Train them for their good. What is good for them? Not just to make it easy for you, but make sure they know that you are training them in the right way, because that is good for them. It's what God desires. You know, if you just selfishly want your children to do your will and they catch on to that, it doesn't go down so well. And it may cause them to be angry, along with other things like being inconsistent can provoke them to wrath. Train them for their good. Be consistent. Be a consistent example for them to follow. Be a consistent example for them to follow. Love the Lord. The Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Do we as fathers and mothers do that? You know, if our children see that we love the Lord, that we're following, we're obeying too, that can make a difference. I think about that verse, serve the Lord with gladness. Psalm 100, Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Do we look at serving the Lord as a burden? Our children probably will look that way too. But if we serve the Lord with gladness, we're glad to come to the house of the Lord. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. It's a blessing to serve the King of kings and Lord of lords. What a blessing we have. I believe our children should realize that it's a privilege to be a child of Jesus, and that the Lord is our shepherd. No wonder David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We're blessed to have such a leader as him. So let's be a consistent example and show them the joys of living for Jesus. Deal firmly but kindly. Be understanding but not gullible. You know, some parents seem to think their children would never do anything wrong, and that's not human nature. Our children can do bad things, and they'll try to do bad things, and we need to curb that tendency. So don't think your children are just little angels and they'd never do anything wrong. We need to recognize we're born with sinful natures, and we need to curb that evil tendency. Deuteronomy 6. Let's turn back to that. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Just looking at some biblical principles here, getting into the message. Deuteronomy 6. We'll read verses 6 to 8. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon thy post of thy house and on thy gates. Seems to me he's saying here, use every opportunity that you have to teach your children about God. Use every opportunity. You know, if you're talking about, you're riding down the road and you see something and you think of a way you can point out God's goodness or bring a lesson from that. When you're walking, when you're driving down the road, when you're having family devotions, whatever it is, use every opportunity to teach your children about God. Proverbs 23. Just some general principles here. It says, withhold not correction from a child, verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child. In other words, he's writing here as if the child is due that, which we owe the child that correction, because that gives him an opportunity to be led in the right way. And don't withhold that. Withhold not the correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. I believe there's a right way to do that. And certainly it's not in anger or in excess. But it is in God's way and for his good. Child training and discipline has a big influence on a child's eternal destiny. Thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. Thou shalt deliver his soul from hell. By nature, children have that evil nature, which will eventually lead them to hell and destruction if it's not curbed. And so raising our children from God involves that discipline that points them in the right way. Are we taking child training seriously? I believe we should. I believe it's important. I believe it's urgent for the rising generation. Too many are lost. And again, a child has to make his decision. But how we train them can make a big difference in where they end up. Our faithfulness in training our children also affects our usefulness for God in other areas. 1 Timothy 3, 4 and 5 tells us that a church leader must be one that ruleth well in his own house. And again, we as church leaders sometimes recognize that we're weak too. But that's where we need to strive for. That's what we need to ask God for direction for grace in, and purpose to walk in the right way. Let's think about some methods of training and discipline. We had 6 children, and we soon learned that not all of them are the same. You know, what works for one child doesn't necessarily work for the next one. Sometimes you have a child or two and you think you're getting it pretty well figured out, and then you have another one or so and you realize it's not quite the same. You thought you had it sort of figured out how to do it, and you find out that God made us all different. And sometimes children just need to be worked with in a different way. We're different. But there are a variety of ways that we can train. And I believe a good part of it is for us to continue to seek God's will and God's blessing. Ask God for wisdom. Each child is unique. And it's amazing that each one of us is unique. God made us each different. You think about that. What are there? Not sure even 7 billion people on the earth, 8 billion, whatever it is. Maybe somebody knows. But we're all different. And we need to recognize our children are different. They have special needs. And they respond differently to correction. And God has something in mind for them to do. He desires to use them. He gave them gifts. But we have to direct them in the right way. We already noted there in Proverbs that God said we should use the rod. And let's look at some other scriptures there in Proverbs. Proverbs 13, verse 24. It says here, he that spareth his son hateth his... He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Or that betimes has the idea of early or before it is too late. Do you hate your child? I trust you love your child. And it says here, if we don't discipline, then it is as if we hate our children, because they're going to go the wrong way if we don't discipline them. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. It's bound there by the carnal nature. Foolishness. but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Chapter 29, verse 15. One more here. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. A child left to himself brings his mother, sometimes his father, to shame. Use discipline to direct the child in God's way, not merely out of frustration. Discipline or disobedience should arouse us to action. But let's make sure that we don't just get angry and discipline in anger. Yes, disobedience. When we see disobedience in our children, it should arouse us to action. But let's make sure that that's not an anger that's not controlled, but rather arouse us to where we need, see we need to take action, and in a godly and in a way that our spirits are under control, we need to take action. As much as possible, deal with issues while they are small. And sometimes I know when you're working with a situation, things go on day after day, and all of a sudden you realize this is getting out of hand, and you have to start taking action. But when we see it, and try to deal with it when it's small, not too big. Also, before using strong discipline, make sure the child is guilty and not just sick or troubled. Do we understand the child? Let's make sure we know what we're doing. But when it's obvious the child is disobedient, there's a rebellious spirit there, it's time for action. It's time to bring discipline and to direct that spirit. Today we know that a lot of corporal punishment is frowned upon by the general public. I think it's wise to discipline at home. It's wise to try to avoid serious bruises or physical harm. One way we can do that, I think a good place to start is in family devotions. You know, if they learn to sit still and be respectful, be quiet during family devotions, that's a time when we can deal privately with, at least within the family, things better than we can do here in church. And sometimes you have to discipline in church too, and there's good ways to do that, because after a while they learn that, you know, if you never discipline in church or take them out and discipline, they learn that, well, in church I'm pretty well free to do it. But yes, let's do as much as we can at home in training them in the right way, but don't just avoid it in church either. It's better to just take them out and deal with that than to continually have them disobeying at church. After a discipline, assure them of your love and forgiveness. Different ways of using the rod there. Another method of discipline is rebuke. Proverbs 13:1 says, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." And I think for some children, a strong rebuke at times is enough to turn them the right way. And I'm not saying that's the only thing that they need. They probably do need the rod at times, but sometimes a rebuke is enough. Jesus told the Laodiceans in Revelation 3:19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." And so sometimes it may be it needs both rebuke and chastening. We need to restrain them from doing evil. In 1 Samuel 3:13, God rebuked Eli strongly because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. He restrained them not. We need to restrain our children. We need to set limits on what our children and youth may do, where they may go. We need to restrain them from walking in the path that would lead to destruction. Whether that's through discipline or through limits or whatever it may be. One way to restrain a baby or a young child is to just hold it firmly, lovingly, but firmly, and help that child learn to give up. And for some children, that takes longer. Like my wife talked about at the supper table for those of you who were there. It's not always easy. And we probably didn't always do the best job. But we learn along the way. But yes, restraining children, sometimes just holding them. You know, they're wanting to do all kinds of things, and just holding them, restraining them, can be one way of discipline. Discipline consistently. Start early and don't give up. Again, for some of ours, that took quite a while. Took a long time, a lot longer than what we thought it should. But start early and don't give up. Sometimes you almost despair, and some of you have little children. Maybe you're at that point. Or maybe you have a lot better answers than we did. We're just saying what we went through. But I think it's a common thing. Start early. When a baby begins to stiffen himself with self-will or anger, he's old enough to feel your disapproval in appropriate ways. You know, they don't have to be real big, we found out, until they start stiffening themselves and sort of throwing fits a little bit. And then you need to, in an appropriate way, maybe again, hold them tight a little bit and just let them know that's not acceptable. Or maybe a quick slap on the bare leg or something, just something to let them know, even at that little tender age, that rebellion is not acceptable. They need to learn to listen. They need to learn to obey. Again, at times you may feel your efforts are in vain. Sometimes it can take years. It can take a long time. But keep on, especially while they're young, or start when they're young, continue on. The new birth. Sometimes children are rebellious, but then if you can bring them to where they are restrained at least, if they hear the Lord's call and they submit to God's will, it can make such a big difference. And sometimes even before that, you know, they gradually learn that to obey is better than to be rebellious and have to be punished so much. Remember the urgency of the task. Remember the urgency of the task. It's to deliver the soul from hell. It's to spare the child from evil. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, Therefore, the heart of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. That's in Ecclesiastes 8:11. We need to bring our children to a realization that disobedience does not pay. There's consequences for that. If they don't learn that as a little child, they're going to learn it the hard way as adults. And there's many a man and even women that have ended up in jail or wherever because they didn't want to submit to authority, and they found out eventually they can't just do everything they want. There's consequences. It's much better for them to learn as a child that we need order in society, in the church. Here's some examples of biblical concepts to teach your children. What's important to teach? Just like to look at some things here. Teach your children to fear God and to love Him. And that's partly, I believe, by our example. Do we fear God? Do we love Him? I believe that can be a blessing for our children. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We need to teach them that by example and by precept. How did Joseph learn? I'm not sure what Jacob taught him there, and it seemed like Jacob's other sons. Joseph brought back a bad report, so Jacob didn't have everything together either. In fact, his family, in some ways, was a very poor excuse of godliness, because he had four wives. There was a lot of rivalry among them. He had favorites among them. And so the 12 sons, what were they to do? And yet Joseph somewhere learned some things. And when he was tempted, he said, "How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Somewhere Joseph learned the fear of God. And we need to learn that fear of God too. Blessed are the children that learn to fear God and to recognize that his sin is an awful offense before him. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy strength. Again, our children need to learn to love God. We need to teach our children that there's more to life than just obeying rules. Obeying rules are important if they're good rules, if they're godly rules, if they give us direction in the right way. But it goes a lot deeper than that. We need to serve God because we love Him. Let's teach our children that concept. Teach your children to obey promptly. And I think if I had children to raise over again, if I were starting over again, maybe this is one that I would pay more attention to. And we tried to do that. But I believe it's a very important concept. Children should be taught to listen the first time. And again, I'm not claiming that I made that. And I think children will test that. But it shouldn't be common and it shouldn't be natural that children need to be told time after time again. Sometimes we have to, and we recognize that's not where we want them, and we're working at bringing them to where they obey the first time. But that's not really obedience if they have to be told over and over. And it brings stress into our hearts, in the family. It's a blessing when they learn to obey. Prompt obedience brings rest to both the child and the parent. Correct thy son, Proverbs 29:17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. It's a blessing. I think about the boy Samuel. I'm not sure how old he was. I'm sure he was the age of some of these boys up here, but I'm not sure which one. When he was there in the temple, and at night he heard Samuel call, or Eli, he thought it was Eli calling him. And he didn't just roll over in bed and say, well, I hope he just thinks I'm sleeping, because I don't feel like getting up. He answered right away, didn't he? It was really God calling. But he answered. You know, and children that learn prompt obedience, prompt response, that's a blessing. Let's work at having our children respond when we call and not put it off, not have to be told over and over. Again, that doesn't happen automatically. And I don't think that any of us really attained all that we want in that, or if you did, praise the Lord, I'm glad for you. But I think that's something I would work on more if I had little children, because it's such a blessing when you can get to that, or closer to that point. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Teaching children to obey promptly not only brings rest in the family, but also helps prepare them to live a fruitful life for God. You know, it's even a blessing for us as adults if we've been trained to obey promptly. It's just easier to submit one to another in the church. Learning to submit, learning to obey is such a tremendous blessing. We want to take our own way, but it causes hardship, but it causes pain for us. It causes trouble. It's a blessing when we can learn that when we're young. Another thing that we need to teach our children is honesty and truthfulness. Lie not one to another. And I don't have a lot on that, but I just would say we dare not tolerate untruthfulness. When there's a lie told, we need to take that very seriously, because children that learn to lie or live a lie or live deception, you can't trust them. Children need to learn that lying is totally unacceptable. And again, that doesn't always happen right away. Sometimes we have to work a long time. But it can't be looked at as something that we just deal with lightly, or we think, well, they'll grow out of it eventually. We need to work with it. Lying. Honesty and truthfulness is very important. Another important aspect of training, or another something, a concept that's important, is respect for others. Respect. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Courtesy and good manners. Again, we're not claiming that we did perfect on that one. But it's a blessing to see children that are respectful, that are courteous, that say thank you when they should, that say excuse me or whatever. And those things don't come natural, but we can train them to follow that. Courtesy, good manners, respect, kindness, forbearance, it all goes along. Sharing toys, that's respecting others. Overlooking faults, Be ye kind one to another. Gracious and pleasant is what that means. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If we learn that as children, like we heard last, like I mentioned last evening, that helps tremendously in marriage, because we need to respect one another as husband and wife, and we need that honor, that kindness, that forbearance. We need to teach responsibility, good worth ethics. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him that stole steal no more. Now, there's something we need to teach, too, that you don't steal. But a good worth ethic says, goes way beyond that and says, instead of stealing, instead of taking something that somebody else, we work hard so that we can give to the ones that need. Good worth ethics. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. How about children that just don't like to work? Are there any children like that? That's pretty common, isn't it? Oh, do I have to? 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Notice what Paul says here, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. I believe we need to teach our children that. If you don't want to work, then you shouldn't eat either. And so if they grumble a lot about working, maybe you can say, well, you don't want to eat? Or if they're not doing what they should, maybe it's time to cut back on the dessert that day. You didn't work willingly? The Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat either. There's a principle there. You know, I think most children, when they start learning that principle, that we eat after we've worked. Now, of course, there's babies. Sometimes there's sick people. There's exceptions to that. And I think that's where the verse that working with his hands a thing that which is good that he may give to him that need. If there are people that can't work, and then we should gladly give. We should gladly share. But our children should learn that if they're able-bodied and they just don't feel like working, then they shouldn't eat. That's responsibility. Good worth ethics. Just think how much different that would make in the welfare system in our world if all the children would be taught that. Make a big difference, wouldn't it? We can teach our children that. That makes sense, children? If you don't want to work, no eating. That fair? That's what the Bible says, isn't it? So if mom says pick up your toys and you grumble, she could just say, no dessert. This says no food at all. That'd be letting you off easy, wouldn't it? Love the church. That's another Bible concept. Love for the church and its practices. The songwriter said, I love thy kingdom, Lord, the house of thine abode, the church the blessed Redeemer saved with his own precious blood. Beyond my highest joy, I prize her heavenly ways. Her sweet communion, solemn vows, her hymns of love and praise. We need to teach our children to love the church. to love going to church. And I believe we need to set an example of that. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122, verse 6 says. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, or God's people. They shall prosper that love thee. Children who are taught to love and appreciate the church and its standards will be much more likely to remain faithful to godly principles than those who grow up and the parents are always complaining about the church or grumbling about the standards or wishing that this or that would be different. And sometimes things aren't always perfect in the church, but, you know, we can rejoice in what God is doing and that God still has a church. It's a blessing. I'm blessed this week to see this many people coming together night after night to hear God's word. That's a blessing. And I believe there have been a lot of people, maybe in some parts of the world, they don't have a brotherhood like this. A Christian who would be glad to meet with others. It's a privilege, it's a blessing to have those of like precious faith that we agree enough that we can come together as a brotherhood and agree on a way to walk, a way to live, a way to worship, a way to observe the biblical commands, the ordinances. Just think of the blessing that we have. Let's hold that precious and let's endeavor to help our children grasp that appreciation for the church. Timothy. You think about Timothy. And it says that his mother and his grandmother were believers. They worshiped God. But his father was a Greek. I take it that his father was an unbeliever. That could have been a difficult situation for a young man, couldn't it? His father's out worshiping idols. But his mother and his grandmother seemed to love the Lord, and they taught him the ways of God. And he caught that vision and became a blessing to the Apostle Paul and the church because of his faithfulness. Well, for a few minutes yet, I'd like to think about turning our hearts toward God and toward one another. We mentioned the verse back there in Malachi 4:6. I believe it's an important verse. As we think about raising our children, it says, "And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Children need to feel our love and our mercy. Yes, they need to be corrected, but they need to feel more than just the discipline. They also need to feel the love. And I believe they need to feel mercy. Delight in showing mercy when a child simply makes a mistake or when he shows genuine repentance. But at the same time, discipline consistently enough that the child appreciates mercy when you give it. You know, some parents want to give mercy all the time, and that doesn't really work. Because a child needs to be disciplined consistently enough that when you make an exception and you show mercy, he recognizes it for what it is. I believe that's maybe why God started out with the law instead of mercy right away. You know, the law was our schoolmaster. And the law was, thou shalt not, and if you did, you're killed. Whereas when Jesus came, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That law was there. That's where we were supposed to be. But Jesus shows us mercy, and he brings us back, gives us another chance. And we need to show mercy to our children too, in a right way, in a way that doesn't tear down what we're trying to do, but in a way that shows them that we really do care for them and we love them and we want to be merciful. Another point I'd like to bring in here is that from Isaiah chapter 1. I don't know all of your families. Some of you may have wayward children. Or God forbid it, but perhaps that could happen in the future. Our children have a choice to make. But God understands the pain of wayward children. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backward. God understands your pain. But also remember the prodigal son. What about that parable? And where was God? He was the same place where he was in the beginning. And so remain steadfast. If your children are wayward, don't go running out the path they took and try to meet them out there somewhere. But remain true to God. Be there for them to come back to. If they reach the point where they repent and want to return, be there serving God, where they can find you, where they can find their way back and find their consistent parents still serving God. God wants the hearts of our children, not just their outward compliance. God wants all of our hearts. And so the goal in raising children is to teach them obedience so that as they grow up, as they mature, as they come to an age of accountability where they give their hearts to God and grow in that up into adulthood, they in turn would love God and want to serve him. God wants our hearts. God wants the hearts of our children. May God bless you in whatever stage you are tonight. And a special blessing to you, those of you who have little children. Now's the time to put your heart into raising them for God. If you have older children, maybe you see you've made some mistakes along the way. Well, continue to be faithful. Continue to seek God's will and directing them from where you are. I'm amazed at how much mercy God has. And God just keeps extending mercy, and he continues to seek people. God doesn't give up very fast. I noticed that in the book of Revelation, where there's seven churches and five of them have things to repent of. But he's still addressing them and he's still calling them. Even the church of Laodicea. And so I believe that's the same way it is with us. You know, we continue to work with our children. We continue to seek their good, to pray for them, that God would direct them. And God would have mercy on them.